What a weekend, and it started on Thursday for him as his Commodores get the sweep of the Florida Gators, and they do it in a big fashion. Beat them 5-0 on Thursday, 15-2 on Friday night, and 14-4 beating the Gators in a three-game sweep there over at his house. Tim, how you doing?
Good, T. How you doing?
Doing fantastic. Did you fill out a bracket at all? If so, who do you have winning at all?
Oh, no, I don't touch that stuff. I just stay in my lane. But I, you know, I watch it with enthusiasm, as you guys do too. That Duke game was unbelievable last night or yesterday afternoon. But it's a good time of year. It's really when you can see the emotions of the kids, and that's what I enjoy the most.
Can I ask you a silly question before we talk about your team?
Sure.
Let's just pretend Taco Fall could play baseball. Let's just say he was really good at baseball, and you've recruited him, a 7'6" kid. Where do you play a 7'6" kid in baseball? Is he got to be at first? Where do you put him?
Put him at first base because of the obvious reach.
Mm-hmm.
If he could throw a ball at all, I'd love to see a kid like that throw a ball to the plate, because the reach to the plate, it's almost as if he's reaching out to the catcher's mitt and dropping it in his mitt. That brings back memories of Manute Bol, but even a bigger version of Manute. That was fun to watch as well.
Yeah, he could have those long strides in the outfield, right?
Oh my gosh! Yeah, that's a different type of player.
Let me throw one at you, Corbs, along the lines of just what we watch in the tournament at this time, where you have everything on the line in those big moments, and it's so close, the difference between winning and losing. And I know you as a coach. It's the same kind of thing. It's in baseball, I guess the 2 out of 3 makes it a little different and say a super regional, but the ability to condition your players to be able to play their best in moments like that, because it's so easy to get caught up in all of the craziness and the chaos that starts happening.
It really is. I mean, that's the 8th and 9th innings, you know, for us, and it's the times where the game's on the line and you get into the plate with a guy in scoring position, or the ball's being hit to you, or you're a pitcher that, you know, a closer or a finisher that's going into a game. There's a lot of internal emotions that occur that, from a competitive standpoint, that's really when you start to understand the fibers of a competitive athlete. You know, whether it's Zion going to the hoop yesterday, that one, you know, towards the end of the game where he just went right to the hole, and come hell or high water, he was going to put the ball in the bucket. It's those instances right there where you start to determine the people that start separating themselves in sport. And they're the difference makers for sure, but it's certainly a tough situation to be in, and not everyone can handle it.
Why did this three-game series work so well for your kids?
Well, I think the first we had a pretty good matchup, and I say that with respect, because they had some very good starting pitching. They had 3 right-handed starting pitchers. But at the same time, I thought that because we're generally left-handed in the lineup, I thought it was a decent matchup for us. Now, you know, they could have outpitched us for sure, but I thought we did a nice job midway through the games, each game, to capitalize on them and then get to the bullpen. So I think that was the first thing. And then secondly, I think our starting pitching had to pitch well. And we pitched decently, but I was still, we've got a long way to go. We still got to get a whole lot better. But I just felt like this weekend, our starting pitchers gave us, certainly Drake because of his complete game. Ravy got us to the 7th, and Kumar got us to the 7th. And that's very difficult to do inside this conference. So I think with that and the way our offense swung the bats, I thought it was a pretty good weekend for us.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. I wanted you to follow up on that because, as you mentioned, Drake Fellows got the series going with the shutout, the complete game shutout on Thursday, and Friday and Saturday. The pitching was really good. But you said they can get better. They've got things to work on. So maybe take that a little bit further. What would you like to see more out of your starting pitching, your rotation?
Well, I think better counts, number one. I think we haven't always worked in the best side of the count. But I think the other part of that is just the free bases that we've been exposed to earlier in the year. And I know that can dissipate. And it's a lot like free throw shooting. If you talk too much about it, then it seems to go in a different direction. And you don't want it to do that. You want the kids to be able to figure it out themselves. But at the same time, when you get bitten by it, like we did against Texas A&M on that Saturday, then it starts to impose its will on you, and you just can't give up too many free bases. Now, we distanced ourselves both on Friday and Saturday, but if we're looking for ways that we can grow as a group, it's certainly that. We got to better ourselves defensively, too, although we played pretty well this weekend. And then we're going to have to better ourselves, too, as left-handed hitters against left-handed pitching, because we know that's coming. We don't always align ourselves properly with the other team. So those are areas that we still need to grow in.
Because you've been doing this for so long, I'm always curious, because you hear this on the basketball side of, well, you've got these dynamic freshmen, but the team is extremely young, and unfortunately all the guys you're counting on, they're freshmen. Or you see, you know, the teams that are seasoned and they've got a bunch of juniors and seniors, you know, with less talented, but they're making the long run in the tournament. You as a coach in baseball, what is the right balance? What would you like to see? Because you've got some dynamic freshmen. You've got some experienced seasoned guys. What is the right balance for Tim Corbin to have a successful team that can make a long run when it comes to kind of the age variation?
I think, well, definitely balance throughout. You know, you'd like to have a balance in class, but you'll never get that really in college baseball. If you're worth your salt, then you're probably going to lose some seniors or juniors to the draft. And we were fortunate that some juniors came back and became seniors. And those are your best recruits. When you can actually get guys who have played in your program for 2 or 3 years and that have, you see them as opportunists from a leadership standpoint. And I say leadership standpoint in terms of their investment in the program, their investment in other people, then I think that does a world of good to your team. And really, I think that's helped us out a lot. We've got seven, not all seven play, but all seven understand their role. And having seniors that are older, that aren't playing, who don't understand their role, can be a tough dynamic for a team. And we're very fortunate that we've got kids that do understand their role and are willing to do the things they need to do in order to continue to grow the program. But I think if I had my druthers, I would tell you that give me five seniors every year that have played in your program before. Because if they played in your program before, they've got a chance to be very dynamic inside your organization as a whole. And I love these seniors. I really do. It's part of Donnie's class, but you know what? They never show up and think that they've heard it all. They never listen to me and respectfully don't listen. They listen like it's the first time they've heard something. That's tough to do. You know, you're in a program for 4 years. It's really tough to do. They can still be taught. And, you know, the Izzo thing probably had a lot of momentum in terms of how people felt about it. But I think generally speaking, people enjoy that. People enjoy an older coach who can challenge his kids in a way of, I want better for you. I need better from you. And there's not a lot of coaches who can get away with that. You know, there's a lot of young coaches who don't like confrontation. But I think that, you know, the older coaches, whether it's Roy or whether it's Krzyzewski or whether it's Izzo or, you know, even Wooden, they had a way of confronting their younger players in a way that they wanted to seek out more in them. And that's for me, that's great to see. And we've got seniors who you still can coach that way, and I enjoy that.
We're talking to Tim Corbin. Vanderbilt baseball coming off a sweep of the Florida Gators. They've got Lipscomb this week, and then they've got three with Tennessee at Hawkins Field this weekend. And, Corbs, I want to ask you about Kumar Rocker, because when you watch a few pitches of him at his best, it just jumps off the page. You say, wow, look at that stuff. But this is the challenge, I'm sure, that you've had over the years and your great pitching coaches that you had, Scott Brown now. But going back to the days when you had guys like David Price and Sonny Gray, very talented guys, but you're jumping in. I would imagine he hasn't been challenged by a lot of lineups he's faced, and he's having to learn how to get through the tough times, even though he's got this electric stuff. And if he were, say, off on some minor league field with no crowd, you could, you know, they work itself out. But you're trying to win at the same time he's getting this valuable experience. So tell me about the development when you first get a talent like that.
Well, you want to be slow with them if you can, because I think sometimes you can speed them up too quick, and if you don't have a roster situation that enables you to slow him down, then he can go down first before he goes back up. I think the thing about him is he's a willing participant. He's a willing listener, and he's a very good investor. He comes to the ballpark every day to make a difference in himself, and he's. I say this, he's pretty mature. He's pretty mature for a younger kid, but I think their development is just based on their ability to get in that seat as a young kid who's talented and say, okay, I'm just going to open myself up to be teachable. And if I'm teachable, then I realize that I will pick some things up and I will learn and then I'll try to improve. I think where there's similarities to he and Price is their dugout mannerisms. When they're in the dugout, they don't miss a pitch. He's very intentful on how he watches a game, and he doesn't miss a pitch. That's a guy that you want keeping a chart in between his starts, because he's on it. He's by himself. He's watching. He's in the middle of celebrations. But at the same time, when the game starts, he doesn't. He follows. And when it's over, his emotions are dictated by the result of the team. So if we lose and he didn't pitch, he is fully, fully into it, and you can read it on his face, and you can read it in his body language, and none of it's manufactured. The kid wants to win for the team, and I love that about him.
Boy, that's a good sign. One more for you, too, This is something that happens a lot. You watch the evolution of a pitcher go from a guy that maybe jumps in, becomes a starter his freshman year, then the second year, maybe he's throwing the second game, maybe still started the third game, and then the following year he's able to take on that Friday night start. And you can explain it to people how big that is. You're facing the top pitcher on the other team. Drake Fellows looks like he's really seizing that role, and obviously he pitched a great game for you in game one last Thursday.
Well, he's pretty consistent, too, in how he goes about things, and he was in that role last year. He never, I don't want to say lost it, because I don't want any pitcher to ever feel that way, because I tell them that whether it's Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, it's a crucial game. But he's just stayed there, and he stayed there because of his mentality, how he goes about it. There's not a lot of dips and dives in what he does. I mean, he's pretty consistent. He's a pretty consistent winner. Does the same thing all the time. He's durable. And I was just happy for him that he was able to get through a lineup three times, get through the game and never come out and finish it. And that's just very difficult to do, and it's very difficult to shut out a team, especially Florida, who had a lot of returning hitters. So, Drake continues to get better, and he's going to. And he's a kid that, you know, we've just been fortunate to have. You know, I don't know what he will be seen as when he leaves Vanderbilt, but I see him right now as one of the most consistent pitchers we've ever had.
I should know this as we wrap this up. Is tomorrow at the Hawk, or are you at First Tennessee Park against Lipscomb?
Yeah, we play Belmont and Lipscomb at First Tennessee Park. We went to that model 2 years ago, and it's worked out pretty well. So we'll be over there for the last time this year.
Awesome.
Was it 6:30? And we're home team this year, so that'll be good.
That's awesome. So Lipscomb at First Tennessee Park tomorrow night, 6:30. Then a big three-game series against Tennessee, and that's going back to your Friday, Saturday, Sunday, more your traditional three-game series. So you'll have that at home on this weekend as well. So this is going to be a big week for you guys. Thanks for doing this, Tim.
Okay, say hello to both your wives. Thanks a lot, guys.
We will do the same, and you pass along to Maggie as well. Tim Corbin. It is going to be a big week. Coming off the sweep of Florida, they beat Belmont at First Tennessee Park on Tuesday, so a 4-0 week for them. Can they do it again? They'll be challenged this week, but it is a very, very good Vanderbilt baseball team.